Thank you, Jesus. We will ride with you. In fact, we started riding with you the day we got born again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when I come back, shall I find faith? To ride with him takes faith. To ride with him takes the faith of believing that his word is true. That his word is true. God has exalted his word above his name. You know how important our names are. Our names represent ourselves. The essence of all we are is contained in our name. When you hear the name Rockefeller, you think of money and power. When you hear the name Bill Gates, you think of technology and money. When you hear the name of Barack Obama, you think of power. But God has exalted his word above his name. And the Bible is so consistent. It says God has given Jesus a name that is above every other name. It didn't say above every other name except the name of God. It says above every other name. And God has put him in a place of power where he is above every principality, power, might, and dominion. The living word has been exalted. Jesus, the living word, has been exalted. And in that living word, in that name of Jesus, we have victory and success. We will ride with him because we are people of faith. We are riding with him today because we are people of faith. And tonight we're going to look at faith in the context of persistence. In the world, we have an expression, the opposites, right? Words and opposites. We all learned that in school. So you hear word opposite, win, and the opposite is lose. Win, lose, lose, win. But tonight I want to give you a slightly different perspective for a believer. Don't think of the opposite of lose as win. We are winners. In Christ Jesus, we are already winners. Ephesians 1:3 says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through exceedingly great and precious promises. And we receive those great and precious promises through faith. So it's not a question of winning. We have won. So operationally, not from a grammatical point of view when you go to school, but an operational point of view. How do you live? How do you think? How do you act? How do you speak? Think of the opposite of lose as persistence. The only way Christians can lose is to be not persistent. What do we say? Winners never quit. Which means winners are always persistent. Christians are winners. We are in the game of life. If you were a gambler, which I'm sure you're not, but if you were, and you know that a football game was being played, and you knew that the referee was the father of one of the coaches, and you knew he wanted that coach to win. So the referee is the father of the coach, and he wants the coach to win. You could clean up. You could clean up. You would bet on the referee's father's team. I want to tell you, we're in the game of life. And the referee is our Heavenly Father. And he wants you and me to win. He wants you and me to win over every challenge of life. And that's why he says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but the Lord raises him up. The only way you can lose is to quit. How do we quit? We quit doing the things we know to do. We quit going to church. We quit praying. We quit speaking the word. We quit acting on the word. We quit doing what the word says. When we quit, we can lose. That is the only way we can lose. But when we continue to do, when we continue to do what we know to do, when we continue to go to church, to study the word, to speak the word, to do the word, to live the word, then we are persistent. We are continuing to do what we know we should do. And we always win. We may not know when, we may not know how, but He will do it again. Amen? He will do it again. All we have to do is not quit. Not quit. Now, sometimes it's easier to hang on and not quit when we have a little bit more understanding. So when we understand that God is our Father and He loves you, you're the apple of His eyes, you're very precious in His sight, that the game has been rigged, that when you put on the armor of God and you come before the devil and you're wearing God's armor, you have His Spirit inside you, you're speaking His word, the devil doesn't know who's talking to him. You look like God, you talk like God, you're using His word, you're using His armor, and the poor devil, he wraps his tail between his legs and slings off. Says, if you submit yourself to God and resist the devil, he must flee. Let's flee as if in terror. Now, when we're persistent in continuing to put the word first. For God has elevated His word above His name. And all the power is vested in the name of Jesus. When we understand that, let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. This is the ending of the famous story at the gate, Beautiful, where this cripple had been laid there basically from birth. He'd been crippled from birth. Every day he was laid there for begging. No, since he was at the temple every day, Jesus must have passed him. It's reasonable just to assume Jesus passed him many times. But Jesus never healed him. Jesus never healed him. So one day in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are about to go in the temple. They see the man asking for an alms. They said to him, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give you. Rise and walk. Pulls up the man. Notice he pulls him up. See, in fact, let's start in verse 6. Acts 3 verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. The Bible says, freely have you received, freely give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But then, words require actions. Faith requires works. So in verse 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Just a few minutes ago, this beautiful lady came up for prayer for a pain in her foot. We prayed, but we didn't end it there. She then started moving her foot around. Amen? And then she spoke words of healing. And she got her healing. Faith requires action. Faith without works is dead. The action that goes with the words is an action of persistence. It's sticking with the word. Sticking with the word. How long does it take? Until you win. My wife and I were visiting back east in Massachusetts, I believe. And we're staying with a family that really loves the Lord. And we, one evening, heard the wife on the phone speaking to a doctor saying, yes, I'm about to go to the, yes, doctor, I will go to the emergency hospital. So I went to say, what's going on? She says, well, I got this problem and doctor says to go to the emergency hospital. She said, I'm in really great pain. I said, why don't we give God a chance first? She said, okay. So we anointed with oil and prayed for her. Nothing happened. This is approximately correct in terms of numbers. Nothing happened. So we had her do some affirmations. I think nothing happened. So we all did some affirmations together. She's been healed by the strength of Jesus. And it budged from like a 10 to a 9. 10 being worst, 1 being best. Then we had to read the scriptures, maybe budge to an 8. So we say, okay, let's do communion. So she started to receive communion. And in the middle of communion, her eyes went wide. It dropped from an 8 down to like a 5, and she was a shock. And then after communion, we worshiped the Lord. And within, it took 45 minutes, I think. 45 minutes, it went from 10 on the way to the emergency hospital down to a 1, at which point we gave her an assignment. And next morning, we heard her on the phone talking. Yes, doctor, didn't go to the emergency room. God healed me. But it took 45 minutes. That's called persistence. Persistence is committing to an action or to words that you know you should be doing. Let me give you a definition of persistence. Joyfully consistent action, despite opposition and circumstances. Joyfully consistent action, despite opposition and circumstances. In the example I just gave, we had opposition. We had all the devils trying to stop it. And the circumstances were, my word, you prayed for the lady twice and almost nothing happened, or nothing happened. You think, well, maybe God doesn't want to heal her today. A lot of churches say that, don't they? Yeah. God's up there, he's got this big roulette wheel, and he spins it, and sometimes says, you get healed today, or you're wearing a blue shirt. I don't heal blue shirt people on Wednesdays. Okay? However he does it, however they think he does it, they think he's arbitrary. But God is not arbitrary. God says, my word I will not break. I don't change. And when you bring my promise back to me, I'll see that my promise gets done. Isn't that what he says? Yes. See? He says, when you partner with me and you meet the conditions, you always get success. But we have to do it with persistence. Joyfully consistent action despite opposition and circumstances. This, I think, is a good Bible definition of persistence. Now, today I'm teaching about persistence. And Yoel came in and she was really excited. She said, today she saw a sign. And the sign says, persistence is how you get it. Isn't that neat? Persistence is how you get it. That's true. Persistence is how you get it. And then it says, consistency is how you keep it. There's surely a lot of truth to that. Persistence is how you get it. And consistency, keep doing what you know to do, is how you keep it. But persistency also requires consistency. There's a lot of consistency in persistency. Okay? But persistency is you're going after it. Consistency is everything is going smoothly. You just keep doing what you're doing. Okay? So I think it's wonderful that God brought us that affirmation on persistence. So persistence is joyfully consistent action, which action could be words, despite opposition and circumstances. That's what we need to do. No, it's a lot easier to do that when you realize the game of life is rigged. The referee, the coach is your father. The price has been paid and the victory belongs to you. And all the power is vested in the name of Jesus. So did you find Acts 3:16? Acts 3:16. No, they're looking to Peter and John as if they're, you know, as if they're gods. And so Peter is saying in Acts 3:16, he's saying, don't look at us as if we are something special. In Acts 3:16, and his name, the name of Jesus, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. The name of Jesus, his name. See, John 3:16 says that God so loved you, he sent his only begotten son, that you should not perish, but you should have everlasting life. But you should not perish. Perish includes deterioration, accident, sickness, disease, death. All these things are included in the word perish, if you look it up. And he's saying, Jesus came so you should not do any of these things. He came that you should have eternal life. For the eternal life in you drives out all sickness, disease, infirmity, and death. But John 3:16 says, that's a promise. He came that you should have this. How do you get it? A good place to look for it is Acts 3:16. That it's a name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus by itself doesn't do anything. Just like this Bible doesn't do anything by itself. You got to read it. Put it in your mind. And in your mind, it helps you to change a bit, but not much. When the power comes is when you start to live it, when you start to speak it, and when you start to do it. That's what loses the power. Because the power of God is in the gospel. Romans 1:16. The power of God is in the gospel. But it's only loose when you speak it and do it. It's by your words that the powers are released. It's by your words you're justified, just as if you never sinned. It's by your words, when you use the name of Jesus, you're living as a conqueror, as a victor, as a persistent winner in Christ Jesus. And apart from Christ Jesus, we were sinners going to hell. But in Christ Jesus, we are super conquerors. As long as we are persistent and not give up. So understand that all the power is vested in the name of Jesus. Acts 3 verse 16. But that power is released by your faith in that name. Acts 3:16. It's his name through faith in the name that made the man strong. You must know, you need the knowledge to know that all the power is vested in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the living word, and the word has been exalted above God's name, above all things. And all the power is in the name. But the name must be used. That's why the devil has done a number in so many churches. And they'll pray in the name of the Son of God. They'll pray in the name of Christ. They will pray in the name of God. People love to talk about God, but you don't hear them talking about Jesus so much. Right? We know of one show on television that they try to get the people would close out the show, I guess with a meal, with the name of Jesus. And they say, quit using the name of Jesus. Fortunately, the show was very successful. And the guy said, no, we're not going to quit. So still doing it. Still using the name of Jesus. The power is in the name. So the devil tries to water it down. But you hang on to it. That the power is in the name of Jesus. And when your faith ignites it, that power will change anything in your life. So we ignite it with faith. And so I want to look at faith. So let's start by looking at the definition of faith. You all should know where the definition of faith is in the Bible. Okay? And it's Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. You know, in the world they talk about hall of fame and all these football stars on there. This is a hall of faith. Hebrews 11. And in verse 1, it gives you the definition of faith. So let's go to Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Every believer should memorize this. No, I love the King James Bible. And I believe in most verses, the King James Bible has the best, not the best, the highest level of revelation. You understand every scripture has many different levels of revelation. And I think in general, the King James has the highest level of revelation. But perhaps not on this one. It's a wonderful definition. It's the one I use. But the one I'm going to go to, the Amplified, gives you a lot more insight into it. But this is the one I use the most. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's precise. It's accurate. It's wonderful. But it's not so emotionally connective. You look at it and say, what does that mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? Well, it's like you work really hard and you decide you're going to buy a refrigerator. And so you go over to Montgomery Ward. And people are smiling. They think, oh, Pastor doesn't shop very much anymore. Okay? So you go for the Montgomery Ward. Okay?
In the old days.
Okay? And you're going to buy a refrigerator. And you pick out the one you want. And the sales clerk comes by. You take your hard-earned money and you count it out. And you give them whatever it takes. I don't know what it takes to buy a refrigerator. You count it out and you give it to them. And they give you a piece of paper.